Welcome to this Linklaters podcast on payments regulation. In this episode, we're going to look at two laws that are going to change the rules that apply to payment firms in the UK. As a result of these changes, banks and other payment firms will be given more time to investigate fraud, and they'll also face more red tape when it comes to closing some customers' accounts. To explore these rule changes in more detail, I'm joined by Gene Price and Arjun Lakhani. Gene, let's begin with the plan to slow down some payments. What's the aim here?
Thanks, Simon. Well, yeah, slowing down payments, who'd have thought? So the aim of this is really to nip fraud in the bud. And fraud is the most common crime in England and Wales. So prevention is a massive priority for the government, for regulators and the payments industry at large. You know, millions are lost every year through this, not to mention the impact on consumers. So the government's working through its fraud strategy, and that's aimed at reducing fraud rates. The FCA is contributing to that and has made reducing fraud a key pillar of its three-year strategy. And payments firms are also on the front line when it comes to delivering change. The payment systems regulator is introducing a reimbursement requirement for victims of fraud in faster payments. So there's a lot of policy work happening in the space. And the draft legislation we're looking at today is part and parcel of this. So the government wants to give firms more scope to delay suspicious looking payments, because at the moment, as that people will be aware, the rules are that when you get a payment instruction in, it's dealt with fairly swiftly.
So how does this new legislation go about doing that?
So as I mentioned, under the current rules for payment services, banks and other payment service providers have got to execute payment transactions within a fairly tight timeframe. And those rules are set out in the 2017 payment services regulations. Now, the latest legislation suggests amending those regulations to give firms the option of delaying payments in some situations.
And specifically those situations that we're looking at here, that's where they suspect authorised push payment fraud, isn't it?
That's right. And you'll all know that's one of my favourite topics. So the change applies to UK authorised push payments made in sterling. So the idea is that if I'm trying to make an outbound payment via online banking, for example, my bank can choose to delay that payment up to 4 business days so that it can run extra check if it has concerns. But you can only delay the payment where there are reasonable grounds to suspect that the payment order results from fraud or dishonesty. So it's directly targeting those authorised push payment scams, which involves fraudsters tricking people into sending them money directly.
Okay, so when these changes actually take effect, I suppose we're going to find customers, you know, more of their payments being slowed down to allow for these additional checks to take place.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, in these days of frictionless payment, it seems almost counterintuitive. But to mitigate that, the new rules would require firms to inform their customers about the reasons for delay. And they'd also need to explain what information or action the payer can provide to enable the firm to execute the payment order.
And Jean, do you think this is going to be welcomed?
I think broadly by the industry, it will. We've seen high profile cases with banks having to defend decisions where payments have gone out in authorised push payment scenarios. So I think they will welcome the opportunity to investigate potential fraud cases. As they take on more liability for compensating victims, it's in their interest to stop fraud from happening in the first place. But saying that, it's not risk-free. These changes suggest that payment service providers are going to be liable for any interest or charges relating from delays to payments. Also, as I mentioned, firms have worked very hard to reduce payment friction over recent years. So deliberately slowing down some payments goes against the grain. You'll inevitably have false positives where you hold up legitimate payments. So firms are going to really need to gauge how best to use this new flexibility when it becomes available.
Thanks very much, Jean. The government plans to lay these regulations before Parliament in the summer, and the changes will take effect later in the year. Let's turn now to debanking. This is a topic that's attracted a lot of scrutiny recently. What's the government doing in response? Arjun.
Thanks, Simon. You're right. There has been a topic which has been talked about quite a lot recently. And around the same time, the government released the draft law that Jean was just talking about. It's also published another draft set of regulations which suggests amending the rules for payment services and payment accounts. These reforms include lengthening the minimum notice period for terminating some types of payment contract. That's in response to issues that have arisen around debanking in recent years. So there's three things the government wants to achieve with these amendment regulations. Number one, they want to increase the notice period that payment service providers will need to give when closing framework contracts with customers. Currently, it's at 2 months, but this will go up to 90 days. Secondly, payment service providers will be required to give a sufficiently detailed and specific explanation so that customers can understand exactly why the contract has been terminated. And finally, the law will make it clear to firms that they cannot use their contracts to avoid the rules around termination of these contracts.
Thanks, Arjun. So what do you think these rule changes are going to mean in practice for firms?
Well, there's several things firms will need to think about. The first thing to note is that even though we're talking about debanking, these changes apply more widely than just banks. E-money issuers and payment institutions are also impacted. All of these firms will need to change their policies and procedures to reflect the changing rules. This should allow for the longer notice period I was just discussing, and also setting up a process to explain why the contract is being closed. Your internal policies should also note the exceptions that apply, for example, where the new rules conflict with other legal obligations. There's one bit of good news, which is that you don't need to go back to amend existing contracts. The changes will apply to framework contracts which are entered into on or after the date the regulations come into force. You will, however, need to bear in mind your Consumer Duty obligations in relation to your existing contracts.
Thanks, Arjun. So, like the other draft law we looked at earlier with Jean, the government also plans to lay these regulations before Parliament in the summer. Now, these changes to the law that we've talked about today are connected because they're both part of a bigger project that the government's working on to build a smarter regulatory framework. So, what else can firms look forward to in the months to come?
So the Smart Regulatory Framework is, as many people know, this major initiative to change how firms are regulated in the UK. Reforming payments and e-money regulation is a priority area for this programme. This is because the government thinks the policy change in this area can bring the biggest positive impact to this industry. The reforms we've looked at today are one part of the puzzle, but another big piece that we know is coming is changes to the safeguarding regime. This is an area we've seen lots of FCA scrutiny recently, and there's some really interesting cases going through the courts over the last few years. The FCA has given more rulemaking powers as part of the Smarter Regulatory Framework programme. It's going to consult on using these powers to strengthen the safeguarding rules for payment firms and e-money institutions. We're expecting that consultation most likely in the summer. We've also been promised a rewriting of the Strong Customer Authentication regime and more changes to the open banking rules. So there are lots of potential changes in the pipeline.
And of course, we'll keep you posted on developments as and when they happen. Do get in touch with us if you have any questions. Until next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.